Harry Potter and the Orb of Exuberance by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 75. The Thanksgiving Invitation. Disbelief. Exhilaration. Exhaustion. Pride. Those were but a few emotions that Harry Potter felt after securing the Horned Serpent's first Quidditch victory of the season over the Thunderbirds. He wanted to keep a stoic expression on his face, but was utterly helpless to prevent the massive grin as his teammates hoisted him on their shoulders and carried him off the pitch. Savoring the moment, he thrust his right hand straight in the air, clasping the golden snitch between his thumb and first two fingers, drawing an impossibly loud standing ovation from his fellow serpents in attendance, well over 150 strong. Even in defeat, many Thunderbirds stayed behind to tip their figurative cap to their opponent's brand new seeker. Of course, they would have preferred a victory, but they were keen to recognize greatness as they saw it. Harry Potter was a generational talent, a talent the other three houses wished they had. Nova Woodward had asked Harry to stay behind after the team captain Mitch Huber made a brief congratulatory speech after the game. She was proud of her own accomplishments, as she had finally cracked the starting rotation as a chaser this term, but most of her pride was reserved for Harry. He was her foster brother, after all, and promised herself never to give anything less than her absolute best, irrespective if it was for practice or for a game. She offered Harry a warm smile when they finally had a moment of privacy, her somewhat wonky teeth on full display. "You've truly inherited your father's talents, Harry. He was an accomplished seeker for Gryffindor nearly 20 years ago." She paused for a brief moment. "You may have the potential to be even better." Harry returned the friendly smile. "So, do you think I may be able to play professionally one day?" Nova shook her head and giggled. "I thought up the gun, mate. I merely said potential. You've got a single game under your belt. You've got a long journey ahead of you, and you need to play at least as well as you did today going forward. A lot can happen in the next 5 years. Honestly, it was probably more the broom than me anyway." Harry offered his prized matador to Nova so she could take a look. "I don't even want to think about how many dragons Padfoot spent on me last Christmas." "Sirius truly adores you," murmured Nova as she gave Harry's matador a once-over. "This model is probably worth about as much as a small wizarding village. Slight exaggeration, but it's certainly one of the pricier models." She gave the broom back to Harry and giggled again. "Yes, a good seeker needs a quality broom, but it wasn't all the matador's doing. You were the one who actually had to catch the snitch." "Well, thanks," Harry replied with a lopsided grin. "And you were terrific yourself today. You led the chasers in scoring today, and it was your first start. I'm really happy for you." Nova beamed. "Not as happy as I am for you, Harry." She wrapped up Harry in a quick embrace. "Now, how about we head back to the castle and get cleaned up?" About 45 minutes later, Harry had showered and changed into personal clothes before rejoining his housemates in the Horned Serpent common room. He tried to tell his friends Anastasia, Othniel, and Tallulah in a sea of teal and gold robes, but was barely able to budge without being bombarded by flurries of congratulatory handshakes, fist bumps, and high fives. He groaned inwardly as he tried in vain to locate them. He even kicked himself for not thinking of wearing his invisibility cloak. "Maybe next time," he thought to himself. Just as Harry was losing himself in his musings, he heard a familiar high-pitched cry.
"Harry! Harry! Harry!"
He spun 90 degrees counterclockwise and saw Tallulah and Othniel standing in front of a large plush couch. Othniel called Harry's name once more, his hands placed on either side of his mouth to try and amplify his voice non-magically. Tallulah was frantically waving her hands toward herself, beckoning Harry to join her. Harry let out an exhale of gratitude before carefully navigating the crowd. When he had finally reached the couch, Othniel moved over a space, allowing Harry to sit between his two friends. "Am I glad to see you two?" he said with a chuckle. He then cocked his head a few degrees. "With everyone here wanting to personally congratulate me, I was afraid I wasn't going to see you or Anna before dinner. Speaking of, where is she?" "I think she headed off to the library a few minutes ago to study," replied Othniel. "Quiz bowl stuff, I think." "Which reminds me, I need to head there myself in just a little," added Tallulah. "Oh, and Harry, Anna told me to tell you that she'd like to talk to you there this afternoon, if that's okay." Harry nodded. "That's fine, Lou. Did she say why?"
"Nah," squeaked Tallulah.
"Now, I reckon by the way she worded it, it was meant to be just between you two.
Cut it out, Gallifrey.
Her medium-sized tabby had a thin black shoelace in its mouth, as it had successfully untied the neatly tied bow on one of her black brogue flats. She batted Gallifrey away from the hem of her trousers as she adjusted her dress shoe.
New year, same old cat, chortled Othniel.
Tallulah blew Othniel a raspberry.
I wouldn't trade him for anything in the world. He's just a regular kitty. Ephraim could be another dark sorcerer in an animagus form for all we know.
If Ephraim was anything but a rat, he would have hightailed it out of Ilvermorny a long time ago, pun possibly intended, scoffed Othniel.
Harry then stood up to take his leave.
All right, I suppose I shouldn't keep Anna waiting for too much longer.
Sounds good, Harry, Tallulah said, grinning from ear to ear.
You were awesome today, by the way. Galena wasn't half as talented as you. If it weren't for that stupid second-year-on-up rule, you probably could have started last term.
Harry wasn't fully able to resist his cheeks from pinkening.
I don't know about that. We won the Overmorny Quidditch Cup last term, and she did all right for herself.
Which means we'll be even tougher to beat this term, Othniel added, giving Harry a hearty shoulder clap.
And Nova's a starting chaser. Seeing how she played today, I don't know how she didn't start last term.
Experience often beats raw talent, Harry countered. We've got a good crew this term, but there's also a lot of new faces. We're not unbeatable by any stretch. Now, if you don't mind, I'll be heading up to the library right about now. See ya.
20 minutes later, Anna was so lost in her studies that she didn't even notice Harry gently tap her on the shoulder.
Oh, she exclaimed, jumping slightly. You startled me, Harry. How are you?
Exhausted, Harry replied with a casual shrug. Just glad we won today.
He hesitated for a fraction of a second.
So, Othniel and Tallulah said you wanted to see me up here?
You were terrific out there, Anna said with a giggle. You're definitely a step up from Galena. She wasn't bad, but it took you all of 24 minutes to find the snitch. I don't think I've ever seen a Quidditch game end that quickly.
She blushed ever so slightly and lowered her voice to barely more than a whisper.
Anywho, I was wondering if you had any plans for Thanksgiving?
Harry shook his head. Nothing set in stone. Part of me wants to go home, but part of me wants to stay at the castle. You suggested that the two of us stay here last year, if I recall.
Well, Anna began, I was thinking of staying here as well, but I got a letter from my parents a few days ago.
Although she managed to contain the excitement in her voice, she couldn't prevent her cheeks from turning a deep pink.
They were asking about you, you see. They said they'd love to have you over if you didn't already have plans for Thanksgiving break.
Harry blinked. Of all the things in the world she could have talked to him about, he certainly wasn't expecting that. After what seemed to be a 10-minute pause, he finally opened his mouth to respond.
I guess that sounds all right, he managed, nervously brushing a strand of his dark hair back.
Anna put a hand over her mouth to suppress a giggle.
I don't know why you're so nervous. You've already met my family, well, my immediate family, that is.
After taking a second to compose herself, she looked Harry in his brilliant green eyes.
There's nothing for you to be nervous about. You've already met them just a few months ago. Don't forget.
She looked up in thought before continuing.
Besides, it's an opportunity for Nova to spend some precious time with her birth parents for a few days. That said, if you're really feeling an itch to talk to them, I'm sure my parents will be fine with you using their phone for a call home.
She let out a tiny giggle.
Oh, and I didn't tell you this, but Tallulah's going to ask Othniel if he wants to join her family for Thanksgiving next month. He's not the barbarian he was a year ago, that's for sure.
Harry let out an audible laugh.
He's definitely come a long way since this time last term. She doesn't harp on his table manners nearly as much, and he's taken a lot more pride in his appearance lately.
He tilted his head.
Well, I'm glad you've decided to return home this time. You're not going to be spending every waking moment studying, I hope.
Anna let out a snort.
Of course not. While I do plan on spending an hour or two each day on academics, there's lots of things we can do together. If we're lucky, we may even experience some snow.
She flashed that lovely smile of hers. I promise you'll enjoy yourself. The anticipation coursed through Harry's body over the next 4 weeks. He wasted no time securing permission from his Uncle Roger and Aunt Rhonda, who allowed him to spend the week with his best friend on the condition that he call them once he arrived in South Bend. The wait was excruciating, but when Saturday, November 21st finally rolled around, Harry bolted to the mess hall with reckless abandon. After turning in his wand and having a warm breakfast with his friends, he sat nervously next to Anna in anticipation of their year being called by a trustee. Harry's eyes darted for a split second before focusing on Anna.
It's the Zephyr we're taking, right? I'm guessing it's probably not much different than the Chinook.
You got it, confirmed Anna. I'll need a little time to get settled in my compartment, but maybe a half hour into the ride I'll leave my door open for you, okay?
Harry nodded. Sounds good.
It wasn't long before Missy Luntwig, a pretty blonde sixth-year horned serpent, began calling out for seventh years to line up for their respective trains. After seeing how slow the lines were moving, Harry let out an impatient groan.
It seemed so much faster last term, he mentally noted as Missy gradually made her way down the list from eldest to youngest students.
When she got to the third years, Anna stood up and pulled her luggage behind her as she got in line near the massive double doors. Harry tilted his head as he watched Anna depart with her gear. There was something about her that he never really thought much of before.
She looks a bit different than last term, he thought to himself. She's definitely gotten taller, at least by 2 inches. She's not the little girl I met a year and a half ago in Boston.
Harry was so lost in his musings that he jumped from his seat when he felt an unexpected hand clap his shoulder and gently shaking him back to reality.
Harry? Harry, it's our turn.
He glanced to his right.
Oh, sorry, Othniel, I guess I just lost my train of thought.
Othniel let out a quiet chuckle.
You've been thinking about Anna.
Harry's face turned hot pink. Before he could utter a word of denial, a familiar southern drawl interrupted the boy's conversation.
What are you two yahoos waiting for, Christmas? Now both of y'all get up and get in line already.
The boys followed Tallulah to join the rest of the second-year students in line by the entrance of the mess hall. As the second-years split up to board their respective trains, Harry exchanged quick goodbyes with Othniel and Tallulah and hopped aboard the Zephyr and soon found a cozy, unoccupied compartment in the second-year car. After stowing away the few belongings that weren't already secured by the train's crew members, he stretched out on his seat and let out a yawn and drifted off for a quick nap.
Bap, bap, bap. Harry, are you in there?
Harry propped himself up and pushed his glasses back down to his nose. He groggily stood up and opened the compartment door, only to find Anna tapping her foot with impatience.
I've been waiting nearly 2 hours, Harry, she continued with a groan. I've been searching up and down the second-year car. I tried finding a conductor, but I haven't seen one since we took off. I was beginning to wonder if you might have taken the wrong train.
Sorry, Anna, Harry sighed. The sleepy bug hit, and I thought maybe a quick nap would hit the spot. I didn't expect to be out this long. He gestured to the seat across from him.
Will you come in?
Anna closed the door behind her and gracefully sat down across from Harry.
If all goes well, we should be in Chicago before 9 this evening.
Harry nodded. I can handle that. It takes 2 days to get to Seattle from Boston. Anna's face scrunched.
That's way too long. Shoot, the enchanted balloons can get us to Scotland in just a few hours.
That'd be nice, agreed Harry.
Oh, that reminds me, how's Daphne doing? I haven't heard from her in a good while.
She's doing really well, replied Anna.
Both she and Hermione made the Gryffindor Quidditch Bowl team this year as alternates. I'm so happy for them. They both deserve it.
I thought Hermione would have made it as a starter, Harry said with a shrug. She struck me as being very studious and motivated like you.
Anna giggled. From what Daphne said in one of her letters last month, Hermione broke down crying for about an hour. Daphne was about to console her, but to her surprise, they were tears of joy rather than disappointment. She was elated to make the team on her first try. Being an alternate or a starter didn't matter to her.
You boohooed a little yourself last year when you found out that you made the team, don't forget, Harry teased.
Oh, and I'm really proud of Tallulah for making it as an alternate this term. I know how badly she wanted to be your teammate.
He then beamed at Anna.
And who'd have thought you'd be named team captain as a third year? That's got to be a record.
Anna's light pink complexion deepened to a far darker shade.
I wasn't expecting that, to be honest. Professor Fry was originally going to make Missy the team captain, but Missy turned that down and suggested that I be team captain instead.
She bit her lip.
And to my knowledge, if an underclassman has been named team captain, it's been many years.
You guys aren't messing around this term, chuckled Harry. Even Wampus had no answer for you guys these past 2 games.
They're a very strong team, countered Anna. It's a long season. They just need 1 or 2 bounces to go their way.
Harry suddenly felt his stomach rumbling.
I think I'm starting to get a little hungry. Lunch can't be that far away, can it?
Anna looked at her wristwatch.
A little less than an hour. I suppose we can make our way to the dining car in a little bit and secure ourselves a table?
A few minutes before 9 that evening, the Zephyr had come to a complete stop under the bustling streets of Chicago. Harry and Anna had bundled themselves up and waited outside the train while the crew retrieved their belongings. Once the children were certain they had everything, they headed toward the non-magical side of the train station where Anna's parents were patiently waiting,
Anna practically sprinted toward her parents' open arms. She couldn't help but shed a few joyful tears.
"I love you, Mom," she murmured as she embraced her mother. "I missed you."
"I love you too, Angel,"
Mrs. Harrison whispered back as she kissed her daughter.
"I hope you two had a pleasant ride."
Anna then embraced her father.
"And I love you, Daddy," she said with a sniffle. "I can't wait to be home with you."
"I love you too, Princess," Mr. Harrison said in his deep voice. "It hasn't been the same without you."
Mrs. Harrison then extended her hands toward Harry.
"How are you doing, Harry? We've got a guest room set up for you. Phil can show you when we get there."
"Ah, thanks, Mrs. Harrison," Harry replied. "It's been a long train ride, so I'll probably head straight to bed." Mrs. Harrison let out a quick laugh.
"Please, Harry, call me Arlene."
"Okay, Arlene," Harry replied with a lopsided grin. Mr. Harrison gave his wife a quizzical look.
"So, where do we park again?"
Mrs. Harrison rolled her eyes.
"For Pete's sake, Phil, you'd lose your head if it wasn't attached to your shoulders."
She led the group up a large flight of stairs and into a multi-level parking garage, and after passing row after row of parking spots, she stopped next to a large silver sedan.
"Would you like a hand with your bags, Harry?" Mr. Harrison asked.
"I think I can manage, sir," replied Harry respectfully. "Should I put them in the trunk?"
Mr. Harrison nodded.
"Here, let me pop that open for you."
Harry then carefully placed his bags in the trunk, making sure there was plenty of space for Anna's belongings. By the time Harry, Anna, and her parents had made it home in South Bend, it was after 11 o'clock. Anna was almost immediately greeted by her older sister, Nell, and Roscoe, her golden retriever. She then gave Harry a quick hug before heading upstairs to her bedroom while Mr. Harrison showed Harry the guest room. Mr. Harrison also agreed to let Harry call his family back home the next morning to let them know he got to South Bend safely. Within 20 minutes, Harry was out for the night. Over the next several days, Harry and Anna spent many hours watching movies, playing board games, and taking Roscoe to the park. On Thanksgiving Day, as an enormous smorgasbord was being prepared, no fewer than 20 relatives packed the Harrison house. Harry was worried that there wouldn't be enough food or even seats, but Anna assured him that there'd be plenty. At 6 that evening, Mr. Harrison kicked off the meal with a brief blessing, and Harry sampled a bit of practically everything: maple-glazed ham, potato salad, fried turkey and stuffing, plum pudding, and yes, the famous 7-berry pie that Anna bragged about. Harry privately admitted to Anna that her great-aunt Maggie's pie beat any of Ilvermorny's offerings. On Saturday morning, Harry and Anna headed back to Chicago to board the Zephyr and return to Ilvermorny.
"Thank you so much for having me as a guest," Harry said as they made their way into the train.
"I'll have to return the favor next year."
"It's my pleasure, Harry," Anna replied.
She snickered softly. "With Christmas around the corner, I might not be opposed to a quick smooch under the mistletoe."
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Chamber by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.